space. The distance between your ears. These are the programs of the Home Power Hour, whose multi-year mission is to dispel ignorance and to give us bliss, to give us renewable power.
Welcome to the Home Power Hour, bringing the hope of sustainability to a terminal culture. I'm Solar Jim. I'm here with Sustainable Jack.
Good morning.
And we're here because we're grateful. We're grateful for a chance to talk about renewable energy, for a chance to maybe influence the future, or at least to dwell on hopeful things like efficiency and bicycles and breakthroughs in renewable energy, plus just all the solar, wind, and hydropower stuff we have that we could use, energy efficient appliances and insulation, all kinds of ways to reduce our impact, because the planet is crumpling under our impact right now. And that's not a good thing. No, no, no. So we're grateful for that. We're grateful for the fact that we're using less and less oil in this country. That the grid is becoming cleaner and cleaner. And that a new smart grid is on the horizon. We just have to keep walking towards that horizon. But we put one foot in front of the other, and that's the way we get there. On top of mountains, slowly revolving, our wind turbines generating power for us. Up there above the clouds, there's still the sun shining. And water raining down is being harnessed into electrical energy at small and large hydro systems, bringing more renewable energy to your outlets every day. And you can be a part of it. And now it's time for some news. News of renewable energy, that is. And here, with some headlines from around the world, it's our own Sustainable Jack.
It looks like world oil production peaked in May of 2005. Yes, in May of 2005, world oil, crude oil production peaked at 82 million barrels of oil per day, a number that we have not surpassed since. So we've come close to it on several occasions, and now because of renewable fuels, such as biofuels, we've actually surpassed that number. But there is no alternative fuels now that are listed. They're all considered oil or liquid fuels, and so we've been able to push those numbers. But since May of 2005, we have not pumped more crude out of the ground or sold it.
Oh, that's so great. I mean, we can stop worrying about peak oil. It's already happened like 4 years ago.
It might have already happened. It's really hard. Meanwhile, in the United States and throughout the world, in fact, we have reduced the amount of liquid petroleum consumed by about 5%.
Well, good. It tastes terrible.
And but remember, for every calorie that you eat, it takes typically 10 calories of some type of energy, typically fossil fuels, to bring that to you in the form of pesticides, herbicides, refrigerations, and transportation, wrapping, taking care of the shelves, and you going to get it in your car.
Ooh, yuck.
But U.S.-China has been having some renegotiations in the last week. President Obama visited China and just said, hi, did a nice little neighborly call there. Hello, awesome. How are you? And, of course, he did bow. That's kind of, you know, caused a lot of places. But nobody has brought up that President Bush kissed a Saudi prince.
On the
in
slippers.
Public.
On
yeah,
the slippers.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. You know, what does that mean?
We're in bed with oil.
That's very true. We have new Sunny Boy inverters that are coming out. That's one of the new industry standards. They've brought out. They're one of the first ones to do grid tie.
Yeah, for years. And they've been leading the industry there.
So they're bringing out a new updated piece of equipment.
Germany, it's probably big.
I bet it is. And Green Tech has been very bright, as we've mentioned, about the studies in North Carolina. We hope to have later on today someone give us a little bit of some interest and feedback on the Sustainable North Carolina Awards that took place just this past week.
Oh, wow. That'll be interesting. See what who the awards went to.
Oh, wouldn't that be good?
What the leaders in renewable energy are up to in North Carolina. Well, we had big wind come through with that nor'easter last week.
Oh boy, did we ever.
It was fabulous to have a wind turbine spinning up in that.
And it safely survived that.
Oh yeah, just made big power.
Made big power.
Yeah, even.
Probably a month's worth of solar energy equivalent.
Yeah, you know, my shop is just solar powered. And the house is solar and wind powered. And I ran out of power in the shop. I was working on the buggy up there. And I thought, darn, you know, do I have to bring the generator up here? And I said, wait a minute. The house is on wind power, and its batteries are full. I have enough extension cords to go from the house to the shop.
And you did?
I did. I plugged in a charger and ran it for like 6 or 7 hours, and I recharged the entire shop battery bank off of the house wind power. And the house was still full of power in its batteries. So I had power to share. Wind, when it comes in big doses. That's what's fun about it. I should probably put a wire in there so I can do that without the extension cords next time. Had to use some 10-gauge wires for that. Do not try this with 16-gauge extension cords. Took the buggy out for another test run last week on the new battery banks, and I lost my spoke magnet. I found it again. It was out on the bridge in Saxbahaw, but flew off on the ride, so I couldn't tell.
How fast you were going.
That's correct, which
wow.
is...
Well, you know, we're playing this music, natural gas, or classical gas, because there is a new website out there called America's New Natural Gas. And you can go to newnaturalgas.org and learn all types of information about...
Now, we've had natural gas for years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, a burrito could produce natural gas fairly quickly. Oh, wow. It's time to maybe go to the phone.
A phone call? For us? Hi, you're on the Home Power Hour.
Great. Really want to just say I enjoy your show. I find it informative and stimulating to the brain.
Oh, wow.
What'd we do wrong?
I used to be employed by the major electrical power supplier to the Piedmont, to the mountains of North Carolina.
Okay. Who shall remain nameless, but go ahead.
Yes. I know Carolina fans don't like the name, but we'll leave it at that.
All right.
intimated enough there. They had a plan. I'm sure it wasn't their own. It came from, I believe, the federal government of allowing, I love this, the customer to contribute to green energy within the auspices of this electrical utility. Yet the plan involved the customer making a monetary contribution above and beyond what they paid for their electrical bill.
Mm-hmm.
And
called NC Green Power.
Yes, as I tried to promote the plan, as we're told that we should, and I was also handling questions involving solar photovoltaic electrical generation. In other words, putting photovoltaic cells on one's personal residence to be a power generator on the grid who could actually sell power back to the utility and have negative usage on one's meter. I was admonished for not having the best interest of this massive utility at heart. And we were quite, as we say, with a capital C, conflicted. And I'm just wondering what your opinion is in asking a paying customer to contribute to something that the utility should be doing themselves if they are sincerely interested in conservation.
Yeah, I'm afraid it's structured wrong, where the utility commission has told the power companies to produce power at the lowest possible cost and without consideration to the environmental damages. So, yes, until we undo or restructure the mission given to the power companies, their mission is to sell power and more of it and at the cheapest possible price.
I was wondering, what is your opinion of this carbon, buying carbon credits, as we hear? You know, the power companies do this, will allow this coal-fired plant to go into production and allow us to basically break the rules here as far as emissions are concerned.
Yeah, that's the problem with carbon credits, is if they allow more pollution to happen. Their goal was to lower the pollution in the air and water, but if that doesn't happen, then they're not working right. So,
well, look, I just want to say power to the people. Invest in solar photovoltaic cells and generate your own power, and then you won't be so concerned about outages.
Well, that's certainly true.
I believe in this, and I do not like monopolies. I don't think they serve the people well, and I'm always blown away by the fact that a monopoly will go out there and advertise. I'm wondering what is this for? They're advertising for what reason? They have no competition.
Face value, maybe.
Yeah.
So they could get more carbon credits.
Well, that, and also, I mean, it helps employ people in their field, so that, you know, they don't have to always call them lobbyists.
Well, don't get me started on what they did as far as linemen and cutting our staff to the bone.
Oh, yeah.
With the Southeast Compact creation, where when you have a disaster, we'll run over to Louisiana and help you, and you'll do the same for us. Do y'all remember that last massive snow ice storm when we were without power for over a week and the sewer system shut down in Chapel Hill?
Well, I'm off grid, so I didn't notice it, but yes.
I did.
It was
the toilets were not flushing.
Yes.
Because they couldn't pump the waste.
That's rough.
Power to the people. Generate your own.
Thank you so much,
cool,
sir.
Thanks for the insider perspective there. Wow.
Wow.
That was fun.
That was good.
Yeah.
Let's see. Our numbers are...
NC Green Power, it's a very complicated thing where you pay the power company and then they pass the money along and... hopefully encourage renewable energy production.
Yeah, I had a song lined up with the orchestra, but they dropped their music.
Oh, well.
We're still trying to get that right. So,
here we go. The sing-along.
Small wind. Think about what's trying to do to me. Think that your mind will let yourself be.
Yeah.
I hope you're not driving the way we're dancing in the studio today.
I tell you, that's been the best thing about Renewables is they allow us some space to think.
That's right.
Think about what the power company is trying to do and how it's not helping us very much.
How does a monopoly, why does it need advertising? What a great comment.
Why does clean coal need singing
coal lumps?
Let's see what they come up with this year. Be hard to top it, though. That was pretty fabulous last year. As far as humor goes. Nothing funny when a mountain gets blown up, though.
You better think about it. Power to the people!
All right.
Woo! I'm really happy about that thing. And in fact, you know, we've got, we're into Thanksgiving area time now in the mid part of November. Actually, it's past the mid part of November. We've actually slid over it. We got our GoDaddy notice about the www.homepowerhour.com, and they billed us, and we'll pay so that you can go visit our website and make sure that everything is taken care on that. You know, We're real thankful that we've been able to be on the air now for...
Well, it's too long to remember now. It's four years?
I don't know. But we've been on for a long time. But we will take credit that during our time, our tenure here on the radio station talking to you about renewable energy has grown almost quintupled in certain areas, especially wind and solar. Solar is still so tiny that the Energy Information Administration says it doesn't matter.
But they haven't harnessed the
They're planning their trips to Cancun and every place else.
Yeah.
You know. But solar energy just doesn't matter. It's too small yet. You know, never mind that it dries clothes, dries crops, grows plants.
Runs everything in my house, you know, along with the wind.
But it is growing. It's growing like gangbusters. And within just a few, less than a decade, it's going to be a substantial form of our energy. Did you know back in 2000, at the turn of the millennia, wind energy produced 0.1% of all electricity? Hmm. That means for every kilowatt of energy that was produced, 1 watt was produced by wind. 1 out of every 1,000 watts was produced by wind in the year 2000. In 2005, wind energy produced 1% of our electricity, which means that for every kilowatt, 10 watts was produced by the wind. Forbes magazine, the well-known magazine known for supporting renewables and all other types of wild ideas, said that there was a tenfold increase in wind energy from 2000 to 2005, and some people think that maybe someday wind energy will provide up to maybe 10% of our power. Hey, it's like me. Yes, you little guy with a hand up. Well, that means that, it's a tenfold increase in 5 years. Well, that's absolutely correct. Tenfold increase in 5 years from 0.1 to 1%. So from 1% to 10%, let's see here. Do you have a calculator? 2015? That's absolutely correct. Actually, it's wrong. It's try it again. Oh, I'm sorry, 2010. That's the right answer. By the year 2010, wind energy can produce up to maybe 10% of our wind.
Ooh, getting close.
Oh, how could that be? Tell us more about this. I don't think that's possible. Well, as of today, this month, wind energy produces 8% of our electricity. And we still have several months until 2010.
Well, we have a month and a half, but then we have the whole year.
Whole year. So we're talking about doubling times there are coming out to about 1.6. Years. That's every 18 months. It's doubling. Oh, my God. It's a Bain Moore's Law.
So we're going to exceed 10% in 2010.
I'm afraid so. You know, what is this going to do? I don't know. But here is the other one. Yeah, pick me. There's not a question yet. Hold on. In 2005, solar power was 0.1% of all the electrical energy generated in the United States, which means for every kilowatt, every 1,000 watts, solar generated 1 watt.
Of course, off-grid systems were not counted.
That's very true. And they are the majority of the solar systems out there. All the communication systems and all the scientific systems,
the power
portable systems.
Didn't allow interconnecting.
Because they can't count that stuff. So it's only 0.1%. But it's growing faster. It's growing faster. And in fact, it has. It's right at almost 0.8%. So it's almost a full percentage point. So it should make a. You know, it should make 1% of our energy next year, too. It's catching up to wind. You know, so by the year 2015, oh, I've got it. That's when wind will do 100%. If it keeps growing like it does, young child, you're absolutely correct. I don't believe that. I mean, how you do that? I'm sorry, sir. You have some problems with that. You know, you're talking about having it, you know, you're saying that every 1.8 years or so about, we have to develop as much wind capacity as ever existed. That's what doubling time is, isn't it? Isn't it? Huh? Isn't that right?
Sounds like
please
jobs.
Let go of my collar, sir. That's very true. That means that has to happen that way. But wind machines are about as complicated as train locomotives. As far as the bearing surface, the frames, et cetera, they can be built rather rapidly. Mm-hmm. You can build up to, you know, GE is building 4 a day, they say, and they could easily double that, double it, and double it, and double it again, because they build locomotives faster than that.
Oh, and China's coming into the market now.
Oh, yeah.
Just got a big contract in Texas.
And, you know, there's some a little bit of fluff there going on in Texas. Gosh, hold on here. I'm being pulled by the maestro. But one of the things, of course, is we're using American dollars to buy Chinese equipment to generate electricity. What's going on with this?
I think they were going to... Anyway. Well, there's other things to do with the wind.
We find Dusty and friends down in the panhandles in the flatlands of Texas, where the wind blows unfettered, and they know how to put towers up.
Whoa, look out for that dust bunny there.
Yeah, there goes another one. Well, these towers are going up rather rapidly. We're kind of short on concrete here, Dusty, as far as this big, huge pad we're putting in for this big tower.
You're bringing some more rocks there.
Yeah, okay.
Roll some more rocks in there.
Yeah, that's, oh my gosh, you know, it's amazing.
I don't think that hurts anything to put rocks in there.
No, not. And here's that world's largest crane. That's what it says on it, Dusty. World's largest crane, and they're...
It's a big one.
It's 500 feet high.
Yeah, I have to, I used to use hand signals to communicate, but I gotta have this walkie-talkie now.
Over, we're almost there.
Looking good.
And we're putting the nacelle up there. There it goes. It's floating up as we talk.
Well, it's kind of like, it's better than my apartment, you know. I'd love to stay in that thing. It's all roomy with internet connections. All kinds of things are up there.
Well, I need to bolt it on right now. Okay.
Looks good.
All right, the nacelle is going up there. We're assembling the blades here. Boy, these guys are fast down here in Texas, aren't they?
Keep your hard hat on there.
Yeah, it's okay. Oh, yeah. Now they're putting 1, 2, 3 blades on this.
Well, yeah, we don't want any more of those two-bladers.
So. Yeah, they're going up. Another windmill is almost complete.
Hi, you're on the Home Power Hour.
Hey, it's Ken Delaney from Advanced Energy.
Hey, oh, hello, Ken. I'm so glad you called. We just finished talking to Dusty in Texas, where they're putting up yet another wind turbine.
Wow.
You know, amazing stuff. Anyhow, Advanced Energy, tell us a little bit. I got a wonderful message from you last week. Tell us the contents of that.
Well, I was just calling to, you know, give you an update on some of the interesting transportation programs that Advanced Energy is involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And just to give everybody a brief update, Advanced Energy is a nonprofit. We reside on Centennial Campus in Raleigh. We're partially funded through a small surcharge on every kilowatt hour sold in the state. And then the remaining of our funds just come from consulting work or testing work that we do for regular clients.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk transportation. You know about our plug-in hybrid school bus project?
Yes, we do. The ones where they were spinning the tires because somebody erred on the power side instead of the efficiency side. I remember that.
So you're recalling a lesson learned from some of our prototype development. Yes.
Right.
It's what prototypes are for.
That's right.
Right, right. We're still learning things.
Have you not heard of bus number 27, the hybrid that ran the McArdle run in 4.7 minutes? You know, it used to take an hour.
No, we're still learning a lot of reliability issues with the buses. So we told you about when we first built them, they all had the battery packs on one side. Well, we ended up, one of the
All the kids had to sit on the other side? Is that right?
Excuse me?
The kids had to sit on the other side?
To help balance the bus.
Yeah.
We asked them, we said, well, isn't the bus going to lean? No, it's not going to lean. Well, it leaned. So we ended up splitting the battery packs, which was, there's some technology involved there.
Okay, cells, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, all the ones over on this side.
No, you have a resistance issue in the length of the cable.
We don't want to move.
Well, there are a couple of things. So that was one issue. We burned up some plugs where, the plug on the side of the bus had some bad connections, so we replaced some of those.
Using twist locks now, right?
Say what?
Using twist locks now.
We do have, I think the standard was for the twist lock option, and it's actually the wiring on the inside of the bus where it was having issues.
Heat.
Yeah, it was heat buildup from a poor connection.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also run into some things where the memory on the motor control unit has been reflashed and basically cleared when it goes to the dealer for maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem, because then you bring it back and the hybrid drive system, even though you flip the switch on, it's not really doing anything.
Uh-oh.
And now you're just lugging around extra batteries and a motor.
Ooh.
Which hurts your fuel economy.
Yeah.
But we're working through all of those things. We have some buses.
Non-volatile memory now you're going to work on.
Right. We have some buses which are doing really, really well. Where we have boosted the fuel economy by 50% to 75%.
Wow.
Which for a school bus, that takes you from 5 miles per gallon up to 8 miles per gallon.
Wow.
That's
very significant.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When you boost those low-end fuel mileages, you get a lot of benefit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So some of the buses are doing well. Others, are still having some problems. But, again, that's part of the fun of exploring a prototype.
That's why you guys are advanced.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. So the school bus project is moving along.
Great.
In other areas of transportation, we're wrapping up our investigation of technology on plug-in hybrids,
yes.
on charge control for plug-in hybrids. And we've done this on Priuses.
Right.
This is, so we take a standard Prius, you can convert that to a plug-in hybrid. Our utility partners have done that with about 13 vehicles that we have in our fleet.
Right.
But there's an extra piece of equipment you can put on there from a company called GridPoint. And it's software that allows you to download data from the vehicle through the cell phone network.
Mm-hmm.
So on each of these cars, there's a cell phone modem that has a data plan, and it automatically communicates through the cell phone network and downloads the data, and it can give you real-time GPS coordinates as well. So if you want to know where is car number 12, you double-click, it pulls up on a map.
Oh, if you're not in car number 12.
Oh, look, John's at Harriet's place again.
Right. So the other side effect is that we can you know, we can tell when someone is exceeding the speed limit for a particular.
Hey, Jimmy, look at this. I hacked into the system. You see that little golden Prius over there? Watch it stop.
Can't quite do that. but what you can do is the software is enabled where we can control the charging.
Uh-huh.
So as a utility, utilities are very interested in the benefits of the plug-in hybrids, from storage on the grid to possibly sending energy back to the grid when required. But they are scared to death that everybody is going to buy a plug-in hybrid and we're all going to plug it in at the same time.
During high usage time.
During an August afternoon when we also have our air conditionings running.
Right.
They're scared.
They're not fearful about 2 o'clock in the morning. Hey, more, please.
Right. You know? So at night it's fine. But there are other times in the afternoon and when they would prefer the vehicles not be plugged in.
Yeah, they're scared of that. But where were they when we bought our air conditioners?
Well,
we'll just put another natural gas turbine on.
Well, as some customers can do, they can actually participate in the demand response program and actually, allow the utility will pay you some money if you give them a little bit of control over when your air conditioning compressor kicks on and off.
Yeah. And the cars are going to be the same thing with the
vehicle-to-grid
system aggregators.
Yeah, you must not have been listening when we had Lynn Beck on talking about Delmarva and their power company and doing research with AC propulsion.
Okay.
And 38 kilowatt batteries in those cars.
Wow.
And they were doing vehicle to grid, and not the vehicle to grid that we understood a year ago, which was, hey, let's take some power off at the middle of the night when there's plenty of it and sell it back during the day. But actually having it available like 20 hours a day just to sit there and move those little spikes that happen when people turn things on and off.
So available to the power company in under 4 seconds.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. So it's providing voltage regulation.
Yes.
Voltage regulation, which is a huge, huge problem for power companies. And it gives us kind of dirty power in return.
Very valuable. You got paid for absorbing power. You got paid to take power.
That's right. Because the power companies would rather err on the high side than on the low side. It hurts to me things.
And this software that we're evaluating from GridPoint can achieve that same sort of response rate.
Uh-huh.
But we were looking at it primarily to investigate different charge control strategies. So as a consumer, I may be able to, go into some software and adjust when I want my plug-in hybrid to charge based on the price of electricity at the time or based upon a certain demand level that my power company sets.
Right.
So, or possibly based upon location. So if I only want if I want to let the utility have some control, they would compensate me. And then I would say, I'll only charge my car at work. Or I'll only charge it at home or some other location. So we've investigated those things and demonstrated the validity of the software, and it performs pretty well.
Well, we also had an advocate for electric vehicles. You may know another Ken by the name of Ken Clayton, who's done some quick numbers things saying that, if you have an electric vehicle and your boss allows you to recharge at work, that's cutting your transportation costs, which can be very significant for a commuter. It's eliminating that, essentially. And your
not costing
and
the boss company very much.
Boss can actually write that off as an expense, and it's a non-taxable benefit to the worker. Here's an avenue that hasn't really been explored all that much.
Non-taxable? Hey,
I like that.
Let's talk about where you would plug in when you go to work. One of the benefits of plug-in hybrids is that people like to say, well, the infrastructure is just an extension cord. And it's
with a bush on it, so it can camouflage it.
Well, a 110-volt outlet is where most of the converted plug-ins can work off of that infrastructure today.
Right.
Well, with the larger battery packs, you mentioned this 36-kilowatt-hour battery pack. That's very large.
I did mention that.
We're going to want to draw it more than 20 amps.
Correct. So you're going to need what's called level 2 charging, which is higher voltage and higher current.
We've made it to level 2.
Yes, you have. There's also level 3, but I don't know if there's anything above that. You've heard fast charging.
Yes.
Fast charging is what would be considered the level 3 standard.
That's level like some of those buses is, where they just at the while
stops.
They're picking up people, they can
ding
like,
ding corner of Midmark and Zimmers
zap it up.
It's yeah, that's like you know receiving a full charge within 5-10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and so you're talking about you know a
lot of power, a lot of current,
kilowatt sort of
a lot of
load.
Amps.
We
yeah.
use a copper. Solid copper rod.
It'd be a nice
3 inches in diameter.
Right.
Like well, a baseball bat. They both connect. There's an arc, and then you're charged.
So level two charging is going to require a special plug. Again, we talked about the twist lock on the school buses.
How about those RV plugs? There's millions of them out there.
Yes, and I'm sure that some of the experience from the RV plugs went into developing this. But there's a Society of Automotive Engineers standard. That's either been approved or right on the brink of approval.
Right, it's 50 to 49.5. We're going to have to vote again, guys.
So, yeah, there is a committee, naturally, and a standard number. Yeah. But once that plug standard is approved, which should be pretty soon, then we'll be able to begin installing this level 2 charging mm-hmm. infrastructure.
Well, I hope it's different than the Europeans are using.
You know, I don't know exactly what it looks like. I don't think it's a twist lock sort of thing. But I'm not sure. But anyway, so what will happen is, you know, your employer or the mall or the town hall
mm-hmm.
For where you live will be able to install charging stations.
You'll probably get an electrician to do that. But
well, yes. But they'll be able to, you know, fund it or request funding to do that. And so that was this is the lead-in to the next big thing that Advanced Energy is doing. Which I don't know. No, this has been publicly announced. I was going to say this is the you know the premier announcement on the
premier announcement.
No,
about
wait.
The next big project.
Okay.
So the federal government funds the Clean City Coalitions
mm-hmm.
Around the country. The Triangle Clean Cities Coalition joined with several other Clean Cities Coalitions in the Carolinas to put in it's like a $15 million grant request.
Mm-hmm.
DOE said, yes, we'll give you part of it, and a large chunk of it, about, I think it was like $2 million, was for charging station infrastructure
mm-hmm.
around the Triangle.
Cool.
And Advanced Energy is a partner in that and will be helping to you know locate those, select charging station types, administer the rebates that are going to go to help subsidize the cost to employers
mm-hmm.
To install those.
Is it going to be a card swipe or some kind of information that the vehicle transmits?
Good question, and that's not been decided yet. Mm-hmm. There are a few companies that do have, you know, so it's like a credit card reader on a little post with a plug.
Mm-hmm.
You would swipe your credit card, and then that would activate the plug.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the concern or part of the requirements for that SAE standard connector is that there has to be once you make an electrical connection, there's also a communications connection. The battery says, yes, I'm ready to be charged. The charging station says, okay, I'm ready to send you charge. Let's make sure, you know,
the
we're
billing
talking
has to work
all the connections.
Yeah.
There's a ground, and it's not, you know, some kid standing in a puddle holding the two ends of the plug.
Mm.
So for safety concerns.
Johnny, try this.
Yeah, it's you know, that communications will be there. That's just for the safety.
So people with dumb batteries are not going to be able to charge?
Each charging station will be level 2, but it should also be equipped with a level 1 connection, meaning a standard 110 plug.
Sounds like it's a lot safer than gas pumps already.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because
here, Johnny, try the level 1 plug.
Sort of connection.
It's dumb like you.
They don't have the automatic cigarette extinguishing device.
Right. Just the foam that sprays out.
Excuse me, put out your cigarette.
Covers that up.
Before we will fill your car.
So hopefully we'll see more of these around the Triangle as that project develops.
Wow, that's incredible.
It'll be good. Yeah, Australia has gone ahead and putting in a lot of infrastructure for charging. And
yes, yeah. And both
and California did a lot.
Too, that both Duke and Progress Energy, the major utilities in the Triangle, also have funding to install charging infrastructure, some of it in residential locations.
What's wrong with the way they're doing it in Australia and California? Is it,
tell me what Australia's doing.
Well, I'm not sure. I haven't looked at it. But
it's got to bend over, look down under.
Are you talking about the battery swap methodology? This is not Project Better Place, is it?
Mm-mm. Okay. No, so plug-in points for electric hybrid vehicles.
Hey, here comes Reverend Jeannie in her little electric scooter. Hello, Reverend Jeannie. How are you? Hi, everybody. Bless
anyway,
you.
This
what
is very
nice
cool.
Nice Thanksgiving. Can we talk? And I just want to plug in and borrow a little half a kilowatt of power. Oh, no problem. How much is that worth? Oh, it's worth about half a kilowatt, about 4 cents. Oh, that's great. Let's talk. Anything else from Advanced Power? I mean, it's a nice long... we're not through this laundry list yet.
Oh, well, we're doing, you know, several different other things. I could go on and tell you about our non-transportation-related projects, but I actually do have to go to a meeting.
Okay.
Where I'm going to talk about building automation technologies and how we're hoping to use those to save energy in commercial buildings.
Ooh, automation stuff.
Yeah, that's where the buildings talk to the internet and stuff and shut down some of their different appliances or pick them up?
Possibly.
Oh, this is so great. Well, thanks for talking to us about transportation today. Ken Delaney of Advanced Energy.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Home Power Hour. The underwriters for today's Home Power Hour are
TS Designs. Printing T-shirts for good.
Also, Alternative Building Systems, ABS8.com. Go visit their website, learn about clean, green technologies.
And Cycle 9, powering the commuter.
That's right. And also by...
Well, it could be you. Yes, you could be a supporter of your community radio station. And if you let it ride, past our show, you'll hear Radio in Vivo with Ernie Hood, the Triangle's leading science talk show, coming up next on your community radio station.
Oh, that was just great.
Folks at Alternative Energy Engineering, Advanced Energy Engineering. So.
That's right.
Yeah, maybe they'll take that bike generator thing off the stand and let it ride. Mm. That pedal power thing.
Here we go.
So some other innovations happening in the world of science and inventions.
That's right. But before we get to that, it's close to Thanksgiving time. On behalf of all the fowl in the world, I'm so thankful that it's only the chicken and mainly the turkey that's eaten on Thanksgiving.
Well, I'm thankful. Well, let's see. I'm thankful for, clean air, clean water.
I'll be thankful when we have clean air and clean water.
And from Buckminster Fuller.
Well, I think you should be thankful that I'm not around right now, because I'd be kicking your butt for not getting in action and making the design revolution that needs to happen before this planet will be run correctly, like a ship.
And, sir, I can't quite pronounce your name here. You're an alien? What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful that the planet Earth is moving towards carbon zero. Yes, I'm thankful for waking up early this morning.
Well, Ben, you're giving us daylight saving times. That's wonderful. And happy belated multi-century birthday to you.
Yes, and I'm very glad to see the usage of electricity increasing, especially generated by clean sources, such as wind and solar.
Wow.
No one is quite using my before-the-storm voltage collector,
which I still think would be quite useful, if only on small scales. But a watt that's saved is a watt that's not generated.
And Mr. Amory Lovins.
There are more negawatts to generate than there are kilowatt hours to generate.
Thank you, Amory. And Sally? What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful that there's less cars driving down my street and more bicycles so we can play more and be safe.
From us here at the Home Power Hour, we're wishing you and all of yours a grateful Thanksgiving. And thanks to Cat Stevens, the ever-loving Muslim believer who is here today to play his piano and to do that for us. That's just neat.
Hey, Al Gore has come out with a new book. Called Our Choice, A Plan to Solve the Climate Crisis. Sounds sort of like Plan B. Probably took some things from there, huh?
It probably did. He took things from a lot of different places. The book is by Rodell, which is well known for doing books on gardening and how-to books on fish culture and such. And it is chock-a-block full of color pictures and charts and stuff. I could easily see him making a movie out of something like this, like he did for our...
Inconvenient Truth,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's also created a internet web presence called The Wall. Mm. And he wants people to go to that. It's called Repower America. It's part of that project. And he's saying we should all be gathering here at this wall and sharing our information and our projects and our problems so that we can join together and respond quickly to different obstacles that get into our way.
And we actually even have a song piece here from... that would be offered at the wall. We'll listen.
This is my song, oh God of all the nations, a song of peace for lands afar and mine. This is my home, the country where my heart is. Here are my hopes, my dreams, my holy shrine. But other hearts in other lands are beating with hopes and dreams as true and high as mine. My country's skies are bluer than the ocean, and sunlight beams on clover leaf and pine. But other lands have sunlight too, and clover, and skies are everywhere as blue as mine. This is my song, O God of all the nations, a song of peace for their land and for mine.
Wow. And, of course, at the wall, there's all types of other people that are coming on, video blogs and mm-hmm. audio blogs, etc. Again, this is from Al Gore's stuff going on there.
Mm-hmm. And I got another phone call. Hi, you're on the Home Power Hour.
Hi, guys. Bicycle Bill here.
Oh, hi, Bill. How are you doing today?
Hey, pretty good. Although I just read some contrarian opinion on climate change, I thought that I'd let you guys refute.
Let us have it.
Well, in 1898, they had the first urban planning conference, sort of a national urban planning conference in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
The big problem there was the horse manure.
Right.
They had 150,000 horses.
Mm-hmm.
And they predicted that by the middle of the 20th century, that if the, if they kept going the way they were now, that there would be that the city would be up to 9 feet deep in horse manure.
Yeah, it happened in ancient Greece as well,
And of course, by 1915, there were more cars than horses, and the problem went away.
Yeah, and more than a third of them were
came in and saved the day.
Electric power.
So, I don't know. You know, it's like, what do you think?
Well, the thing that originally came through there were called electric street trolleys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and freed people up for transportation, and you didn't have to worry about parking. You just grabbed the trolleys and went by.
Fabulous thing that was...
Then pulled out and put asunder by Standard Oil Trust and Firestone Tire and General Motors buses. And they were found guilty and fined $5,000. The man who cost all of that was fined $1. And now they're trying to spend $5-something billion in L.A. just to try to replace their loan trolley lines. So
yeah, so technology...
But I was talking about global warming. This argument is going on saying, well, what are you... You're trying to stop global warming the wrong way, you know. They say, you know, we have the technology to stop global warming, but obviously we don't want to, otherwise we would.
Well, the technology is renewable energy.
Yeah. Well, also, you know, you're talking about those who don't want it. It's there. We've identified them, and they're primarily involved with fossil fuels.
And I don't think it's people that don't want it. It's
corporations.
Yeah, it's non-living entities.
Wow.
Right.
So what's happening with bicycles? I mean, you know, bicycles, we're in one of the major hubs. That's where the shaft is, isn't it?
Well, Harborough, of course, we have more bicycle paths than any city in the country per capita.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Even Denver?
Wow.
Well, that's what we're led to believe.
Okay.
I haven't counted them myself.
My gosh. Well, you know, the maestro just nudged me here and says they've got a song for you, Bicycle Bill. We hope that you enjoy it.
I'll get off the air and listen to the song.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay.
I rode my bicycle past your window last night. I roller skated.
Yeah, technology. Will it save us from the climate crisis? Well, not totally. We have to be efficient.
We have to make our choices.
We have to, you know, we're in a bad spot now. We've gone pretty far down an unsustainable road, and we've got to backtrack some.
Clean coal. Wait a minute. Where did that come from?
Clean coal is
clean
the oxymoron
coal.
That keeps popping its head up.
The American Coal Enterprise Institute brings you clean coal.
Wait. Now,
putting the clean into clean coal.
No.
We've invested millions of dollars in an advertising program to get you to say clean coal.
Okay. You've said it.
And we're also now getting ready to spread it out. We brought on the people who said that smoking is no problem. We brought these folks on, and we're going to do more with clean. We're trying to sue these people. Wait a minute. Yes. Sir, can we come in? Come on in. Hello, sir. We're with the extraordinarily large law firm of Lamb, Bindham, and Sherem, and we're suing you for libel. Is that an award we won? Well, you have been picking on clean coal for several years now, and we just don't think you know what you're talking about. You do not have the right proper credentials to talk about clean coal, and so therefore, sir, we are suing you. You will not be allowed to say clean coal, sir. That's going to cost you. Clean coal, clean coal, clean coal. It doesn't work. It doesn't work, yeah. Sir.
Well,
sir, I will put an injunction be on you by this afternoon. Well, we can talk until then, right? Bye, sir.
Well, they keep investing in clean coal technology, and they
What did they invest in? They're investing in advertising.
Well, a lot of it does go for that, but they are trying to, you know, pump it underground and to do different ways of sequestering the stuff. Of course, it
stop using that bicycle.
Costs a certain amount of energy to do that, but it turns out in a recent study that the technology is not the major problem with clean coal sequestration. It's transporting and storing the carbon, of course, after you've collected it from the burning of fossil fuels. So how do you get the carbon to the place where you're going to sequester it? And they've started 20 test sites around the world to try to sequester carbon. A lot of them have been shut down because people didn't want them to pump a lot of carbon down into underground tunnels or salt mines or different kinds of things. They said that there wasn't enough studies done. They didn't know if it was safe or what the problems were going to be. So they're trying to get these test sites done, but they're finding out that the big problem is how to get the carbon to the site that they're going to re-inject it or do whatever they're going to do to it to get it sequestered. They have to put it in, what, tanker trucks or back into train cars or
they'll
something?
They'll have to equate essentially what they use to get the energy out and transport it to transport the carbon back. Because and actually might need more for the simple reason that
it's got to be compressed. It's hard to hold a bunch of gas.
Well, not only that, I've had experience with that.
Mm-hmm.
I represent that remark sometimes. But when you take a lump of coal that weighs 1 pound,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to get 1 pound of carbon dioxide out of it. You're going to get 6 times that amount.
Wait a minute. 6 times the weight? Oh, because the oxygen margin.
That's right. So they're not even, they haven't even put that in there. There was a thing that came.
It weighs 6 times more.
More. And it's a gas, which means you have to compact it. You know, anybody that's eaten one of burritos knows the idea that gas expands sometimes uncontrollably.
Well, depending on the temperature. So you either have to cryogenically liquefy it and travel. There's another energy cost. Anyway, wouldn't it be simpler just to put up more wind turbines and a programmable thermostat?
Hey, you've been listening to
the Home Power Hour.